Thank you for downloading this documentary from RTE Radio 1. For more information, visit rte.ie/docon1.
I met my love by the gasworks croft. Dreamed a dream by the old canal.
I've worked in the shipyard here myself for 26 years. I left it 8 years ago to go to another job, but I'd live in no other part of the city, only the Dockland area. Mm-hmm. I think it is the people, because the people in the Dockland area, they're the best you'll find anywhere.
When they go to a job and give their address as living down in Sheriff Street, they can't get a job simply because they're from Sheriff Street, which is all wrong.
The kids are not bad down here. I mean, you get a few, but you get that everywhere. But I think that this area, it's a small little community, can be put right in very little time. And I'd like to see it before anything happens to me anyway.
I mean, say, if you've sickness, you've always a neighbour. But out in the schools, you could be dead. Now, he has an aunt in the next block. And every day, I go up there for my cup of tea. The doors never shut in your face. But out in them places, you couldn't do that. At least, you wouldn't do it.
Geographically speaking, we're isolated on three sides. We have the river on one side, the sea behind us, and then the Talca and part of the sea as well on the other. And the great highway, Eamon Street, particularly acting as a sort of a boundary as well.
I heard a siren from the docks, saw a train set the night on
I came into the area past the boundary wall. But for the high blocks of flats to my right, it could have been a village. The cobbles were being removed to resurface the road, and children were enjoying the feel of clay. They'd love sand, I thought. I wondered, what was the area like long ago?
It was a beautiful place. It had all trees, and all the houses were lovely little white cottages and lovely shops. And you go into the shop there for fruit, the lovely old-fashioned butchers. It was all very nice, and all the people were extremely good and friendly. They were marvellous.
Would you say it was like a village?
Yes, it indeed it was a lovely little village.
We had Castle Forbes, where Castle Forbes works is now. That's owned by Lever Brothers and MacDonald Good Food Kitchen. And
that was actually a castle?
That was an old castle. That was before my day. And that was owned by Lord and Lady Forbes. That's where it got its name, Castle Forbes. Then it fell into Teensy Martin's hands, and they were the big timber merchants of, if not the timber merchant of Ireland. And they had a lot of property around here, and of course they gave us Mother Mary Martin. And by a strange fate too, Matt Talbot worked there in T&C Martin's for years. And then Brendan Meebury didn't work for Leavers. He worked for a painting contracting firm, and he used to work in Leavers there doing the painting for this firm. And he was very well known around the neighbourhood, Brendan. Everybody knew poor Brendan, you know.
Was it a wealthy area?
It was a wealthy area for about, well, a mile square. around. Everybody had money. And if you had a backyard anywhere, any size at all, you could rear fowl, pigs. We did ourselves. We used to have six or four at the least, and a whole yard full of fowl. And I had looking after the fowl and the pigs.
How did people amuse themselves?
Well, there was very little amusement there, and I'll tell you why. There was no picture houses. There was only them old hurdy-gurdy gramophones, you know. And if a crowd of men got into a public house now for amusement, they did have rings. Well, now they had another game, an empty bottle. And somebody would mark a lion, you know. Well, you'd hold a lion and you'd down on your hunkers. And you'd stretch out as far as you could reach with the bottle. Now the next man would try and reach for it and that. Well, whoever was the loser had to pay for the next round of drinks. And that was only twopence a pint them days.
Could you describe what's in front of us here? There's a sort of
CIE rail freight, it is. Well, in years ago, we had we used to get freight and passenger on this service.
So we had more trains?
Yes, and more people, you know. And then we had, we used to have a season for the people who came from the country going to England for the picking of the potatoes. And we, people in the area, catered for those people for lunches. And then they went on to the boats then.
That's very interesting.
That was the main thing. We were kids, we came down here, you know, we call them conic men.
They were coming across. We're looking also at Spencer Dock here and the canal. Do you remember the time when the boats used to come into Spencer Dock?
Yes, definitely. It was a great little place. And they came in here every day. There was boats from Wexford, coal boats. One was the Carlow. I forget a few of the others. I'm sure other people will remember them. But we knew all the lads and this, everybody. It was busy.
So the boats and the trains were part of the life of the area, really?
And the docks.
How about cattle? Were there always cattle?
We always had cattle. But we had an open lairage for cattle, not the way they ship them now. And it was a playground for the children at the same time. We went in, milked cows, played over with the hay, jumped off big tops of things down into hay, you know. But other than that, the children have nothing now. That's all cut away.
Boats and ships are very much part of the area. They carry wood, cattle, tea, grain, cocoa beans and fruit, and 1,000 other things. Seafaring men have many a tale to tell, going back to the age of sail.
Best part of my life going to sea was in sail, because there was a better life going to sea in sail, though the grub was very poor. I mean, you were never hungry, because there was always two tanks of what they call sailor's biscuits. They were made out of flour and graveyard bones.
Graveyard?
Yeah, that's what used to make the hair grow on sailors' chests. Well, now, if you left, say, Dublin here, for instance, in a sailing ship, and you were going down to Australia or around to California, you had to get down by Cape Horn, of course. Very often, sailing shipmen, if the weather was too bad, that's if it took them too long to beat around Cape Horn, they'd up sticking around the other way, around Cape Good Hope. And they'd run down what they called the Roaring Forties. But that was nearly as bad as going around Cape Horn. In fact, I think they were worse. I've been around both, and I felt it going during the 40s. Far worse than going around Cape Horn.
What was exciting about a sailing ship?
Well, I'll tell you. When you got out of the bad weather, and you got into a good run of weather, got a good breeze of wind, it was all fun, more or less. You know, you'd be doing this part of the job, say, splicing ropes, maybe doing fancy work, maybe chafing gear, or you'd be washing your clothes, patching your own clothes. You'd be going aloft doing all kinds of jobs, overhauling gear.
Of course, it's not only those who went to sea who have memories of boats.
Oh, well, there used to be the boats here, some of them lost during the First World War, the Hare. Well, that was the boat that brought the pucks for Jim Larkin in the 1913 strike.
Do you remember much about that strike?
I'd be around 9 years old that time. But we only just used to be running around the quay that time.
Did the river mean a lot to you in those days, living near it?
We never believed in that, and it's only fishing for sticks and things in the river all the time and looking about. Till we got walking at them, and then we knew where we were. We had to work hard.
Sure, I'm walking the nozzle. Sucking. Terrible job. What a job.
What exactly is done?
That's, when you, we had to go and shovel all the grain off the tweens eggs into the lower hole. We should be sucking out of the lower hole to bring in the tonnage. How would you understand? Well then, at the end of the day then, when we be finished, we get 1,700 ton of suction now. Yeah.
This all used to be sucked through, the wheat sucked through a big pipe.
Big pipes, yeah. And we start in then the night, work at 12 that night. 8 o'clock the next morning, start the same thing again.
What did it be put into after it was sucked out?
Into big tanks in the silo. Bends in the silo. It's a great big building. You'll be able to see it when you go down there. The whole big building on the right. When it all go in there, well, then the cars then will be backing in and heave up those sacks with ropes, jigger ropes, and load them then in with sacks, the grain and sacks, then going off to Bowling's North City and Zock Mill and the whole lot all around then.
Did you meet a lot of different sailors?
Every national. I tell you who was very fond of me there. It was Hogan Bassey, the great boxer, a Nigerian. Did you ever tell of him? Well, his brothers knew me. Now, and Hogan Bassey, there was a chief steward and a cook from Leicester, from Hull. They were on the ship called the Bradford City. Used to do all the running from Australia to here. And every time he used to call me up, he used to bring me cigarettes and books and all. Where's I'm your man? Yeah.
Where's I'm your man? Is that your nickname?
That's my nickname all over the world.
Is it known pretty well all over the world?
Sticking out a mile it is. To be over there, just goes away to see. My wife, pardon, going to have a drink. And on the port of Dublin, say yes, see I'm your man alive, yeah. They tell that's me yoker.
How'd you get that name?
There was a bosun of the American Navigator, 1943. He came here with a load of grain, a load of maize. And he took a great liking to be the way he was walking in the hold of the ship. And he called me, I'm your man, the whole time. And the boat was finishing all after 4 days. She went back to Cuba in South America. And says he, before he went, he'll bring her back in his presents. Do you know the Yankee green smocks? He brought me back a brand new one of them. I know if your mom was printed on the back of it in gold letters. So when I'd wear it, everybody wouldn't know. Yeah.
Has work got an awful lot easier on the docks? Have conditions changed a lot?
Money for jam now. Not working at all now, I only get paid for it. Oh yeah, I only get paid for it. Dickie Rock's grandfather and whole lot of his people all worked at me too, you know. Oh yeah, I knew him at all.
Did you?
Yeah.
What did you know? How did you know?
He passed on up and down. He used to wear an apple cap and everything. He joined us, I think it was the 3rd of June, 31. He joined him. Oh, I knew the whole lot. And then well, before I went into the grain work, I'd done 13 and a half years of the horse yard in General Smith Walker. Down the port. Used to shoe every class of horses.
Do you remember the days when there was gaslight?
Oh, Lord, yes, Dad. I used to remember the lamplighter coming out. Billy with the light, put him out all night there.
Really?
Oh, yes, they used to come along there. They had a long pole there, an old gas lamp there. That it was a sort of a triangle there, and it put it off there for to put on the lights there. They used to have to call around in the morning there at daybreak for to put them back again, put them off, rather.
Do you remember the time when there were lots of cattle coming down with their drovers?
Oh, Lord, yes. They used to come down the North Circle Road there. The abattoir, the market used to be up at the abattoir, up beside the park there. And you come along there and there'd be 50 or 60 maybe head of cattle there. And oh, sure, I used to go down there to the quay there that time there, down to the Hollyhead that was time, or down to the LMS there. And we'd hunt the cattle then. Well, we wouldn't hunt the cattle then, but the dockers used to be there, and of course, that was in Tower Alley there. We'd have this big stick there, and they'd say, go ahead there, we'd hunt them in.
The cattle and the water and the boats have still an attraction for children of Sheriff Street, enough even sometimes to keep them away from school. Michael follows the cattle and the cattlemen.
Are you being the man, are you the cattle yard helping the men and give me a few pence or something when I go into the shops? And after dinner I come out and they're getting shifted onto the boat and we hush them on with the men. Sometimes a few lambs or donkeys comes in and they have a bit of fun, me and me pals, in the hay and all. And the bigger fellas still be in there and horses comes in, we get on their backs and bring them in for the men. But there's some men in there and they don't let you in. So they throw us out and we go around the dock area, Spencer Dock, and have a bit of fun around there.
What sort of ships come in and out here, or do you watch them much?
The oil man comes in.
Yeah.
The coal boats, the cattle boats, the meat boat, the corn boat, the flour boats and everything.
The oranges boat.
The fruit boat. Which do you like most watching?
Cattle boat.
Why?
Because it comes in faster, and when it's going out, it's better. You can hear all the cows.
Yeah. You can get on the horses now.
You can get on the horses now. We were on them last night.
And there are smaller pets, pigeons for instance. I saw them everywhere, hopping along, quite tame. Derek's pigeon wasn't doing much hopping, though.
It's hurt it.
What happened?
It has a sore wing and can't fly. It's too small.
Sort of pigeon is it?
Brown checker. And then, Sikikna, young pigeon. No. The other one is different to this. That racing pigeons, they have rings on their feet. And, you know, the big fellas keep them pigeons and we all keep the Gignas. And going out to a fella now with this one, giving it to him, you know.
What'll he do with it?
He keep it in his loft. And he keep it in that and he has more pigeons and he get them flying, you know. They come back to him. And they be flying to him all the time. There's a man over there in the chipper and he won. He has a loft, a pigeon loft, and he races pigeons. He has central heat and all in it.
In the loft?
Yeah, and electricity, you know, light.
How many of you race pigeons around here? Do you?
Well, I know a few people that race them, but I don't race them myself. We only keep pigeons around like that.
How many do you keep?
Only 6 or 7 in the pram shed.
What do you feed them with?
Corn and wheat and Milo. Things we get over the lorries over in the quay.
Do you let them fly?
Oh yeah, we let them fly and come up on the roofs and the area and they fly back down to us and we lock them in again.
Well, they are racing pigeons, but we kept them, you know, keep them in the pram shed and breed out. We have youngsters.
How many have you altogether?
I have about 20, 23 or 30.
Do you race them much?
No, just bring them out, the Dolly Mountain and all that, and they come back.
Do many people around here keep pigeons?
Yeah, few fellas. But the corporation leave the pram sheds around there all over the pigeons. And
why do they not want pigeons to be kept?
No, you said it's bad luck or something. See, because I can't get a job anywhere, because that's my only hobby, you know, pigeons.
Because he can't get a job. Sheriff Street today, like many other areas, has its problems, severe problems. In 1950, the corporation built 600 flats on the site of some of the old cottages. One block, Lawrence's Mansions, rehoused people who had been living in the area. Phil Shanahan was for people from Summer Hill, and St. Bridget's Gardens housed people from Corporation Place and the Gloucester Diamond. A new community was superimposed on the old one. There were too many people, in too little space, with too few facilities. Heavy traffic thundered down Sheriff Street on its way to the docks, but the shops and the church were on the other side of the street to the flats. Many children were killed, until finally last year, after yet another accident, the women formed a human barricade on the road and eventually got the traffic diverted. The Royal Canal flows nearby, and many children have drowned in Spencer Dock. A concrete playground is not enough for any child. I've never met such lively, friendly, outgoing children, but something seems to happen to them about the age of 13, and all too often creativity turns to frustration.
Has anywhere to go but a job. If you live in Sheriff Street, you don't get a job. Because I was getting a job there the other day.
Yeah, tell us about that, will you?
He said, where do you live? I said, I live in Sheriff Street. He said, I'm sorry, there's no jobs. And he said, give me a job there and then.
What sort of a job was it?
A job in a timber merchant over the south side. And
but listen, Miley, would you not have said to him, look here, you know, would you not go to try?
I was giving out to him and all that. So I said to him, I said, it's not where you live, it's how you live.
What did he say to that?
He didn't say anything, he just told me to get out.
Tell us, Miley, what age are you?
19.
And have you tried for many jobs?
Yeah. I was working in a lot of jobs. I got sacked out of them all, you know.
For what?
For messing. I got sacked for smoking and all that.
Yeah, well, now, what do you mean for messing? Was it anything serious?
No, just...
What sort of things did you get
fooling around. Fooling around, you know.
A few what?
Fooling around.
Fooling around. What sort of things?
You know, messing. Throwing sticks at each other and all that.
Yeah. Well, did you do your work, though?
Yeah, I did me work. I got sacked.
And tell us, do you get any labour when you're
not
working?
I get £1.06 labour. And I'm supposed to be getting £5.02.
Well, why aren't you getting it?
Because I'm supposed to have my own business. I'm signing since last August, and I'm only getting £1.06.
But
shillings.
Why?
I'm supposed to have my own business. Me and £2 something.
But have you?
No.
Well, what do you mean you're supposed to have your own means?
You know, my own business.
That.
My own business.
Well, how would you have your own business?
Don't know.
I mean, how do they work that out?
I don't know. It's a social welfare, so they said. They only get £1.06 every week.
So well, did you ask them in the Labour Exchange?
Yeah,
did
I asked
not them. Check that?
And he told me that I had my own business.
Well, surely you said you hadn't.
I know, well, still I haven't, but...
Wouldn't be the pigeons, would it?
No, it's not that.
Well, what can you do about it?
I don't know.
Then there's Christy. He left school at 13 without being able to read or write. Admittedly, he mitched a good deal because he found it very boring. Since then, he's had no advice or training and has been in and out of a few jobs. Recently, he was up in court for loitering. He says he was just standing beside a stolen car. I got talking to him at a teenage dance and he told me what he'd like to be.
Electrician.
Electrician. What would it need for that? What did you have to do for that?
I don't know.
Go to tech.
Probably would, yeah.
Yeah. But is there anywhere around, anyone around here that you can go to and talk, you know, I mean, would you like to get a job at the moment?
Ah, yeah.
Yeah.
At anything.
At anything. And how hard have you tried?
You used to go out every morning, but not now. It's useless.
How long have you been at it?
Good way.
Do you even get as far as getting interviews?
No.
What do you think writes you off?
Where you live.
Where you live. How do you see this? Just immediately you say?
Yeah.
Is your reaction?
Take down your name and address, say they send you a letter, but you never hear of them.
Never send it. Has this happened to many of your friends?
Have you one of them?
Yeah. Really? Most of the guys you know, do they have any jobs or not?
Most of them has no jobs now.
What do they do all day?
Just toss around the streets. Sometimes yeah. They get lagged.
Getting lagged can happen to the guilty or the innocent, anywhere. Any police force will make mistakes, some of which could be avoided. This has been Gay Murphy's experience.
Well, I came home and I was outside the flats trying to fix my car. The Black Mariah came around the corner and I had the paper on the top of my car and I had a bag and there was three books in it. They went by, they backed up, got out of the car and asked me what was in the bag. So I showed them what was in the bag. Then they told me I was only wasting my time trying to fix my car. They left me, and there was a chap coming down on a bike, and he had a bag in front of him. And they nearly knocked him off the bike pulling over, and they stopped him to see what he had. And that chap doesn't even live down, that chap, I've never seen the chap before. I don't think he even lives down in the area.
They come down in a squad car. Do they ever just foot patrol the area at all?
Fairly seldom. And as a matter of fact, that's what's missing down here. There's not enough police going around the streets down here.
Yeah, because after all, do the children have any chance of making any friendly contacts with police? You know, just ordinary human contact.
No. Because if a child goes up to a policeman, they're lucky if they don't get a clatter off him. Or they push him away, he pushes the kids away from one or the other.
Does this happen fairly frequently?
When not very, as I said, there doesn't be many police down here for it to happen frequently.
What do you feel about the way the media, newspapers, television treat things that happen in an area like this?
Well, I think they blow it up too much, the paper doesn't anyway. I mean, when a little thing happens down in Sheriff Street, it's splattered all over the front page.
What, could you give me an example of something?
Well, the woman's place that was broke into in Gill Street, Mare Street, rather. They blew that up out of proportion altogether.
What was taken? Was anything?
There was a few things taken, I believe. I don't know what was taken.
Was she elderly?
She is an elderly woman. But then the Tenants Association went over and asked her, told her we'd put in that last and all for her and try and fix it up, but she wouldn't let us do it.
Well, was that written up by the papers?
That was not written up by the papers. You see, that's what's wrong. They don't write up the good things that happens down here.
In the case, two things that I can think of that I remember reading about in the papers. One was a child was killed by traffic, but I think you've managed to get the traffic diverted now, haven't
you? Yeah, a cattle lorry, actually. The child fell off the cattle lorry.
That's it, yeah.
But the cattle lorries have been stopped coming into the street now. They're going a different way altogether.
How about Spencer Dock, where I believe a lot of children have drowned?
Well, there hasn't been any really bad accidents there this couple of years, is it? 2 years at least. But these things happen mostly in the summer, anyway, you know.
There was another thing I remember reading about the way some traders in the area are sort of afraid and board up their places at night. Is there any truth in this sort of a thing?
There's no need for any traders to board up their place down here.
There's not much breaking
There's
in?
Not much, no.
On the whole, would you say as a community that this place has more social problems than any other part of Dublin, suburb or whatever?
It's no worse. Let's put it, it's not no worse or it's no better than any of the other places in Dublin.
Anywhere else?
As a matter of fact, since the corporation buildings closed down, they've been trying to, I think they've been picking on Cheddar Street now to say something about it. But when corporation buildings was there, it was corporation buildings this and corporation buildings that.
Mm-hmm.
But now that they're gone, they have to pick somewhere, I suppose. It has to be Cheddar Street.
The North Wall Community Development Association is trying and doing, succeeding in doing a lot for the area. Now, you're involved with a boys' club which operates several nights of the week, catering for boys from 14 to 16. What do you try and provide? Do you just provide a place where these boys can go, or do you provide activities as well for them?
Well, at the moment we have darts, drafts, chess, ring boards, table tennis, and a dance two nights a week, which is going for three nights a week this week, starting from this week. And we have a record player for them in the Monday night records, and they can all sit around and listen to the records.
Would the majority of these boys have work? Would the majority of them, first of all, have left school?
Oh yes, the best part of them have left school, with the exception of a few that's going to take.
Would many have work?
I wouldn't say all that many.
Half of them?
Well, I'd say about a quarter of them in any way. See, the best part of them, when they go to a job and give their address as living down in Sheriff Street, they can't get a job simply because they're from Sheriff Street, which is all wrong.
Well, what do they do all day?
Hang around in the playground, playing ball.
Well, what do you think is the future for lads like this? Can the association do anything or get in contact with anybody who might be able to provide even advice?
Well, we'd like to see if any of the jobs that's getting built, any places getting built down here, if some of the men had come along to us and say, well, we have so many jobs and could you fix us up with a few lads? But so far, with all the jobs that have been getting done, there's not one. I don't think there's one of the lads out of Sheriff Street being employed in any of them.
Where do they get their employment from? Their employer, you know, the employees?
Outside of Sheriff Street. I don't think there's anybody down here from working in any of these building sites at all.
Could unions do anything about this for you?
I doubt it very much. Because I suppose the best part of the fellas that's in these jobs at the moment are all in the unions.
Mm. Do you feel as a community, it still obviously is a very living community down here, is it one community, I mean the people who lived in the cottages and in the houses, the older community, have they managed to mix in well with the people in the flats?
All I'd say, the way it is down here, I think everybody stop and talk to one another, whereas out in the housing schemes, you'd be lucky if they bid you the time of day. But down here, there's plenty of people that stop and talk to you, even if they don't know you. They say good morning, good night, whereas out in these places they won't.
Richard, who is 18, knows what it's like not to have a job and what that does to you. But he doesn't think that the lads here are any worse, more violent than elsewhere.
No, they're not really. When they go to a dance in town, they keep to themselves, you know. They just hang around their friends and that. When the dance is over, they come home, straight home. They don't mess around town. Now, a lot of accusations is made towards them. Say, there's a fight in town, and the first thing the police do is come down here, you know, pick out some of the lads, bring them up to the station and charge them. For some things that they weren't even in town that night, you know. They're near Stow Street, they're near town, they have a name, you know. So as all the police do is, well, we pick such and such and charge him.
Is there much of that sort of violence down here? You know, the sort of violence get stabbed?
No, nobody gets stabbed down here. Nobody among themselves gets stabbed down here. You know, none of the lads come down and stab his friend. When they go uptown, there's a fella down there. Remember Christy Bourne?
Yeah.
He was separating a fight, you know, between two lads that you never knew. You know, just stopping a fight. Said, stop fighting, lads. It's no use. So you'll only get yourself hurt. One of the fellas pulled out a razor and cut his face to bits, you know. Got about 60 stitches in the face.
Violence, then, is only one small part of the picture, but it is part of it. Our inner city island is close to the main, and there is always a relationship between violence, petty crime, vandalism, frustration, and unemployment. Unemployment is not such a problem for the girls, but they tend to settle for dead-end jobs with no hope of promotion. I met a good few girls who had left school early to help their mothers in rearing a large family. A lot of them work in sewing factories. Valerie, for instance, whom I got talking to at a dance. She was at the Tech for a while, and some of her friends are still there, but...
Well, most of them is on the Mitch and all. They don't like it, you know. Some of them... Well, there's a girl there now and there. She was put out for, you know, keep on Mitching all the time. And she never went home, you know. She stayed in her auntie. She stayed out for a night, you know, and you're all looking for her everywhere. She stayed out for a night over the school, you know.
Well, were you able to go to talk to anybody in the school about what you wanted to do?
Yeah.
And what advice did you get?
Well, she said that, you know, I must stay till I'm 15. And the head, you know, the head man might get me a good job. My mum just told her that I can't stay till I'm 15 because...
How badly did you want the money, Valerie? Was it really the money that made you leave?
Yeah, from my mum. Well, there's a good lot in the family, you know.
How many are there?
13. Mm. And my dad's not working, he's on life insurance. And that's who, you know, I just had to get a job.
So it can really help?
Yeah, it does help. Now.
How much do you give to your mother about?
£5.
To make school attractive to children so they'll want to be there isn't easy, particularly when the buildings are over 100 years old, as the national schools are in Sheriff Street. They have only a tiny pocket of a playground.
There's a lot to be behind it down here. I find there's no facilities for the children now, and they seem to be on the aggressive side all the time. You know, they want to be doing things, and yes, there's nothing really for them to do down
so
here.
School
there isn't.
Doesn't really give them a challenge much.
The teachers, I don't think understand like down
the
here. You know.
This is Mrs. Margaret Byrne, who has reared 11 children and knows what she's talking about. She speaks of the need for guidance.
There is a lot of bright children down here that really don't know what they're really set out for in life, you know, and there should be someone or some place for to direct them.
Get advice.
Yes, and also regarding parents, I think they should have something to go like to for advice in regards of different things like how to cope with problems like drugs and that, you know, because in our time we had nothing like that these are all new to us, the things we don't understand. We're trying, like, you know, if someone higher up could sort of educate us, you know.
What about things like finding out more about social welfare benefits?
Yes, definitely. There should be something like that set up. Now, I know a case of a girl leaving her husband, and she has 9 children. No, she buried one, she's 8. And that girl had not one farn, had she, for 8 months. So she squatted into a four-room flat down in Bridget's here. And I know for a fact that girl got no help nowhere. And I think that someone should step in there, like, to help
how did she
a person.
Yeah.
Neighbours now helping out, you know, giving her sugar and tea. She had a few sisters, they'd buy her odds and ends. They have families too, like, you know, but in their own little way, everyone, well, a few people were trying to help her. Now, I think things like that shouldn't. Really gets me going.
Do you think people are aware of their rights at all?
I don't think so. The working class people, the majority of them anyway, doesn't seem to be aware of certain rights, you know. In regards of social welfare and that, when you have kids drifting off in their teens and you're dependent on their wages for to help out in the house, when you have a crowd, like, you can't go along and tell this to people will say, go up to this assistance. Now, he's idle 5 weeks.
Yeah.
By a half 18, yes. And he hasn't got any wages this past 5 weeks since he was paid off. Well, he still has to be fed and kept.
And you're,
you know what I mean? You know?
Your children that have left and gone into jobs after primary school, on the whole, have they been happy with their jobs or have they tended to drift around?
Well, I had one girl I had a lot of trouble with. And I do pray for a vocation in life for her. She'd be 21 in May. But she seems, whether they were phrases she was going through or not, I don't know. But she seems to have settled down.
Yeah.
She has.
How
yes.
about your girl that was sewing?
Yes, I think.
Could you tell me something about her job?
Well, I think that they are exploited, a lot of the youth down here. Listening to them, like, what they tell you about different jobs, you know. The boss, I think they all do cash in on the fact that people are ignorant. They do. Definitely. And,
well, in her case, for
in
example,
her, yes.
what do you feel? Do you feel that she's getting a fair wage and a fair deal?
I don't think so, no. Because she, roughly around £10.
And she's 20.
And she's just 20. She gives me £4. Well, she hasn't an awful lot now for dances or dressing herself. Shoes is what? They're £8 or £9 now.
Is she in a union?
She isn't, no. I don't think her boss would like them to be in a union. I think he would sack them if he knew that they were interested in forming some sort of... getting in touch with a union.
Have they tried?
I think there is a few, well, they call them licks, you know, in with the boss. And they tell the boss if anything is moving, you know.
Mrs. Byrne is lucky in that three of her girls are having secondary schooling. This happened through the help of some people who have come to form a new and positive factor in the Sheriff Street story, the Dublin Tutorial Group.
I think they have helped out an awful lot behind the scenes. Now they don't get much limelight. I think they should get more.
What can you tell me? This what do this tutorial group actually do in the area with the children?
Well, they used to have a club
in Liberty Hall,
but through the bombing and that, they carried on the little sessions in the houses, you know. They took the family groups. Now, I believe they have the Oriel Hall, haven't they?
What, do they do
but,
painting and things with
they
the
do
children?
Drawings. And Teresa done that with Mary Lawler.
Oh, it's lovely mosaic, I see.
Yes.
It's really good. And do they read and write as well?
Oh, they do, yes. Mm. They do. I think there is a few children can't read
and
write.
Do they go
they help them
for
out.
Outings at the end?
They do. I think they're very good to spend most of their spare time with the children down here. If they get into trouble, they're always there for to get them legal aid and that, you know.
In the courts.
Yes.
Do they do anything particular for them in the summer?
Oh, they take them out. Now, since last year, they have a home down in Tipperary. Beautiful it is down there.
The group helped also last year in the running of a very successful sports weekend. Mr. Keogh, who organised it, points to the lack of recreational facilities in the area.
A playing field as such is absolutely non-existent. Where we have to have the football and the basketball is in the Corporation Playground, which is Tarmac Adams. Now, as you know, this is very dangerous for activities of such. So what we would like to see is a community centre and a playing field, if it is possible. There is a lot of derelict sites in the parish, and nobody seems to know what's been done with them, what way they're going to be developed. But I think it is the intention of the association to find out what way those sites are to be developed and have a say in it also.
Another positive force in the area is the credit union. I asked Mr. Malone, who helps to run it, if money lending was still a problem.
Well, not at the moment. I don't think so. I think it's eliminated a lot since we started to function. Because we have got the problems of money lenders, people that was involved in money lending, and we solved our problems. And we found that these people today are a lot happier and a lot better since money lending was eliminated in the area.
How about things like HP? Is this still quite a problem
well,
in the area?
To my knowledge, HP is not as big a problem as it was. There's a lot of solving on the HP problem now. Because with the credit union, it has solved an awful lot of problems where people were in HP and found that they were paying for an article of £20, paying 30 or 40. To us, for every pound we lend them, they owe us one new pence. If I give a person £50, they have a period of 12 months maybe to pay it at a pound a week. We do not force them to pay anything. We ask them how they can pay it. There's no set figure on how they should pay it back, but we like cooperation from them that they pay it accordingly to their means. We give everybody a chance on that. There's no pressure put on anyone. If you're sick, they can come and tell us. We excuse them. That's all the credit union really works for.
Do you find it strengthens a community, brings a community together more?
I found from experience of credit union that on Friday night and Sunday morning you find all the neighbours coming in to pay and one is talking to the other and there's more unitement together with neighbours. Because they meet, it's like a meeting place, maybe for 10 minutes they all having an old chat or something's happening. And one tells the other how things is working. And what I found in credit union was that the next door neighbour was helping the other neighbour, saying, "Why don't you join it?" And it's a great thing. And I think this is how we started to build up. I found dealing with the problems here is very simple if you could take the people in the right way. This could be a great area, and certainly say with all. If we got cooperation that we could get some community centre, something built, I'd say this would be one of the best areas. Because there's no lack of support. Any collection that has ever been made in this area has always been well done and people have always given.
Maybe that's the spirit that drew Mae Murphy back to Sheriff Street. She was born and reared here. And she went out to a house in a suburban scheme. But she missed the neighbourliness.
I mean, say, if you've sickness, you've always a neighbour. But out in the schemes, you could be dead.
Is there much neighbourliness?
Ah, there is. Now, he has an aunt in the next block. And every day, I go up there for a cup of tea. The four, the door's never shut in your face. But out in them places, you couldn't do that. At least, you wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. What sort of accommodation have you here as compared with out there?
Well, I've 2 bedrooms less. That's the only thing. No different whatsoever.
Does it matter, though?
No, not to me. I've had been only a 1-room flat or the tug about. Though the children didn't even like it out there. And that was up my alley when they didn't like it.
Yet another new positive force is the North Wall Community Development Association. It's fully representative of Sheriff Street, as well as other areas. And in a very recent election, 86% voted. Pat Quinlan is their PRO.
The association is very interested in a lot of things, in sport, in recreation, in employment, in future plans for the area, in entertainment, in getting people together, in getting them to know each other a little more.
How about plans for the area? Have you met with the corporation?
Well, we're going to have a meeting with the corporation. We have met with the corporation on with regard to specific problems. For instance, a survey was done of corporation dwellings shortly after, I'm not sure, but shortly before Christmas, and a lot of problems, ordinary routine problems emerged from this survey, such as bad electrical fittings and sanitary facilities which needed to be repaired and so on.
How about recreation?
Well, at the moment, the recreation is being organised every night in the play centres. There's something I want to explain about the play centres. There are two play centres in the parish which were built and are being maintained free of charge by the corporation and being run by the Catholic Social Welfare Bureau. Well, until recently, these places were closed more or less at 6 o'clock in the evening. Well, the community association undertook to keep them opened, and they were allowed to keep them opened. In fact, they received cooperation in keeping them opened until 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night, and ran events like dances and club activities of different kinds in them. And this has helped quite a lot, because one finds that the kids have somewhere to go in the evenings, and this helps the area quite a lot, and it gets kids together.
As I walked up Lower Oriel Street and into Jane Place and up towards the CIE grounds and the railway tracks, I looked into the blind eyes of small cottages, blind because their windows had been cemented in. It was a desolate feeling. What sort of future lies ahead? At least the area has been zoned residential. But for some parts of it, this must certainly mean redevelopment. Hopefully a development which will mean a variety of housing and well-planned open spaces and amenities. I asked Mr. Sheridan what he thought.
Well, this is a source of worry to us, especially to the people like myself who live in the older part of the district. We live in apprehension that they are going to tear them down, that they're going to be taken down to make way for perhaps new, more flats, maybe developments, building developments. I will not say the office-style buildings, though we have reason to believe there is a new office block going up at the corner of Seville Place and Damien Street. And actually, that's going to gobble up a number of the old houses. And more of them will be gobbled up possibly by business people and others, maybe with the EEC membership now, more development will take place in the dock area.
Well, more and more factories have gone up, more and more offices. There's a lot of land being reclaimed down there, the new car ferry, and building lots of offices and factories and that. Right round, they're coming up all the time.
Do you think there's any future for it as a residential area?
Well, unfortunately, I hate to say this. I love to think that I would be, but I don't think so. Not with all the buildings that are going up around us.
I'm going to make a good sharp axe, shining steel, tempered in the fire. Chop you down like an old dead tree. Dirty old town, dirty old town.
If you've enjoyed this documentary, you might like to try other RTE Radio podcasts. Visit rte.ie/radio/podcast.